Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro. With me this week is Greg Karam. Greg, nothing like clever or interesting has happened to the Mets this week. They've just been good, so I don't have like a funny or sardonic opening question.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird time.
I could have like, with Terry Collins off this morning to motivate, shall we say, Rafael Montero, I could how could you put Terry Collins' motivation skills to good use? We're going to talk about the Montero situation later in the show, and I don't find it particularly funny, so we're just going to skip that.
Yeah.
And we're going to take you all back as we kick off episode 132 to an email from earlier in this year that I think I've referenced a few times on the pod now. We asked what our mental state is around the Mets. Basically, are we happy with this team? Well, as we record now on Thursday night, the off day, the Mets are in first place. Still by two games. The Nationals are winning, but the game's not over yet. So I don't have any standings updates for you that you already have when you listen to this show anyway. But Greg, you said in response specifically to that question that there would come a time when a switch would flip for you and you'd start thinking about this team as a playoff team and would be disappointed if they didn't make it. Has that switch been flipped?
I would, at this point, I'm expecting them to make the playoffs.
Mm.
I
need like a dramatic musical cue there or something if you say that.
The combination of the moves that they've made for the bats and the remaining schedule and where they currently sit, at this point, I kind of would be I would be mildly surprised if they did not make the playoffs. And, I haven't gotten to the point where like, it's like a hard expectation, you know, I'm still like on the fence a little bit, but I'm
because you have to be because you're a Mets fan.
I'm like 51%, you know, like towards playoffs right now. Although, you know, some of the playoff odds actually have them, you know, at higher numbers, like especially Baseball Prospectus. But I think it's kind of foolhardy to look at that in any one day. And because if you'd have done that a few weeks ago, you would have said Mets should not be buyers. They should should stand pat or be sellers at the deadline because they're at 20% playoff odds. So
I don't look at playoff odds since 2007. So
well. They find their way into my feed, so.
So, I alluded to this last week, that I'm sort of, you know, the pessimist of the show. So I talked about how there has been bad Mets baseball as long as this podcast has been a podcast. And look, I'm not going to stop being a sarcastic and at times completely patronizing host. But my heart is open, Greg, and my body is ready for good Mets baseball. And I'll tell you when, the switch flipped Sunday night.
Yeah.
I went to the game.
Oh, yeah, you were there.
I was there
with
Chris McShane and the Prospect Hate Man. And so here's the thing. You know, I've been to a few games this year. I don't know how to go to baseball games anymore. Like major league games. I don't know how to do it. Because my mindset when I walk into a baseball stadium is I am at work.
Oh, so you can't unplug and have fun?
I can't usually. Sunday night was a little different. There's just like a different sort of verve about the stadium. You know, sort of outside the Apple, people tailgating. You know, you see all that normally on a weekend game. There was just something about it, especially after Friday and Saturday. And then it was like whatever. The game was just sort of moseying along, and there was that like, what was it, 8 pitches between the Granderson home run and the Duda home run, where we all collectively lost our shit. I'm not a high-fiving strangers in the stands kind of guy, but it just sort of got carried along. Like it's tough for me to sort of switch that you know, analyst evaluator part of my brain out and just be up on my feet clapping every two strike count that Syndergaard had that night. Don't get me wrong, I was still like telling everyone around me that he really should keep the fastball above Bryce Harper's hands late in the game, which he didn't do, but he threw it at 99, so who cares?
Yeah.
So I'm never going to completely coax that out of me. It didn't help that I drove now, so I can only have like one beer, so I couldn't really like just kill the brain cells necessary for that.
Yeah, no tall boys.
And then I'm just like sitting there in the ninth inning, I swim in the bottom of the eighth, giving a standing ovation to Wilmer Flores along with the rest of the stadium, standing next to the prospect hate man who is also giving a standing ovation to Wilmer Flores.
Wow.
And it's just something about this team. The only comparison I have, because we always get asked this on the show, like every year we get an email, multiple emails, what team does this team remind you of? And I think it's kind of, you know, whatever. It's a silly game in some ways. But I think I finally figured it out when I was leaving the stadium afterwards.
Yeah.
This is a 2005 team.
Okay.
The sort of mixture of fun, sort of coming out of winter and Flushing, but still sort of the frustration of not really being a good Mets team. You know, there's obvious weaknesses like there were with the 2005 team. Of course, the difference is this is a lot worse National League and National League East than it was in 2005.
Yeah, and there's more playoff spots now as well.
This is all true. And of course, there were just random people, so it was really crowded. I think they announced it at like 35,000. I think that might have actually been light based on looking around the stadium. But it took me 45 minutes to get out of the parking lot. No surprise there. But while I was waiting, these incredibly drunk, I'm going to say roughly 25-year-old men, or a quartet of them, were like running around the parking lot, high-fiving random people through the windows of their cars, you know, trying to get them to honk their horns, chanting "Let's go Mets," shotgunning whatever beers they had left in the cooler of their trunk. I'm like, I need to get out of here really before these guys or well after them.
But, yeah, well, you know, that's one element that's going to happen is that now that they're good, you know, they're just going to start bringing out all the casual fans, and you don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like, but it seemed like the way it was the other night, it could be, you know, pretty loud, pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, the chanting, the chanting Harper's overrated or overrated at
yeah, that's
Harper.
A bit...
You're just, well, you're poking the lion.
Yeah. It's also not good. Like, that's just not.
Yeah, I mean, you got
Cindy, the best player in baseball.
Cindy, that too. It does make you look a little, yeah. I mean, you can boo him, that's fine, but let's keep some sense of perspective, I suppose. Yeah. And, you know, you can cheer for Wilmer Flores, cheer for Syndergaard, Cespedes, who we'll get to in a minute, but I still don't know if it's a good team, but I feel a kinship with this team now that I haven't in several years. Like, there's been things to like about, there's been players to like about recent teams. There's been cool stuff has happened, you know, whether it's R.A. Dickey or, you know, the emergence of Matt Harvey and Jacob DeGrom in recent years. They're sort of like isolated incidents, almost. But now it's like, it's a... And the funny thing is, I think, you know, you just hear the media constantly complain about the actual clubhouse, but I don't have to deal with that, so it feels like a cool team to me.
Yeah. And you also have that element of a lot of the team is homegrown, and
sure,
that people like that. People feel a kinship with that. And you know, you look around the starting rotation. You got Nice, you got DeGrom, Harvey, Syndergaard. You got all those guys. Mats.